4. Puzzles. The memory family had 78 members, less than 1% of the total Martian population. They were oddballs, but curiously uniform in their eccentricity. In human terms, they were vain, scolding, obsessive, and humorless. The other Martians enjoyed a whole class of jokes about them, and didn't take them too seriously, since history was not a traditionally useful pursuit. And then this odd thing happened. In less than an hour, it became obvious that odd only began to describe it. The only members of the memory family who had acted like fly-in Amber were the ones who had been watching the show about the light coming from Neptune. It was obviously some kind of trigger. All the ones affected did exactly the same thing as fly-in Amber. They fell over and emitted the same long string of nonsense sounds 10 times. It had to be some kind of message. The scientists in New Mars would have decoded it soon, but we had broadcast it to Earth and were beaten to the punch by a Chilean researcher who idly fed a recording of the data through a reverse SETI algorithm, a program that looked for patterns like the ones we had been sending out for more than a century, trying to contact intelligent life elsewhere in the universe. He hit the jackpot. The dot and dash digital message had been slightly obscured because it was mixed into a far more complex one, like a radio signal that carried both amplitude and frequency modulation. Filtering out the frequency modulation gave an unambiguous pattern of dots and dashes. There were 551 of them, and the same pattern was repeated 10 times. The number 551 is interesting in SETI terms because it's the product of two prime numbers, 19 and 29. One of the most basic SETI maneuvers was to make up a message with, in this case, 551 ones and zeros, which you could transmit with dots and dashes. Then, represent them in a crossword puzzle-style matrix, either 19 squares by 29 or 29 by 19, making a picture out of the black and white squares. The signal went like this. The first time the Chilean astronomer tried, he used the 19 by 29 matrix and got nothing coherent. The 29 by 19 gave this interesting picture. Humans and Martians gathered together in front of the monitor as the Chilean's diagram came in.
"Is that English?" Oz said. "What the hell is O-Sin?"
"I think it's some kind of human joke," Snowbird said. "They said it was 551 ones and zeros?"
"Correct," Dargo said.
"Unless it's a coincidence, unlikely, then it's a joke reference to the first example of trying to communicate this way 3 of my generations ago. Frank Drake made it up in 1961. With 551 ones and zeros, and it was widely broadcast. The square zero in the upper left corner would be the sun, with the solar system underneath it. 4 little planets, including yours and ours, then 2 big ones, Jupiter and Saturn, and then 2 medium-sized, Uranus and Neptune.
"So what about Sin?" Oz said.
"I don't know," Snowbird said. "I don't really understand human jokes. That corner of Drake's picture was a symbolic representation of the atoms of carbon and oxygen, necessary for life."
"Silicon and nitrogen," Paul said. "Si and N. They're a silicon-based life form?"
"With 6 legs and a tail,"
Oz said.
"Or 8, 2 of them small. There's a square next to the Earth, with a line pointing to a man-shaped diagram, another square next to Mars, and 1 over Neptune with lines toward this diagram of an 8-legged creature with a tail."
"We don't look at all like that, Snowbird said. We don't have 8 legs. We have 8 appendages.
Red tapped the screen.
There is a solid line from Neptune to the creature, but only a dotted line from Mars to it. That might mean something.
But hold it, Oz said. Nothing could ever live on Neptune. 8 legs or 9 or whatever. It's a cryogenic hell.
No.
Red shook his huge head.
Ha ha. I mean, yes, humans and Martians would freeze solid there in a matter of seconds. But there could be something like organic chemistry with silicon and nitrogen. Liquid nitrogen being a solute. Like water in our chemistry. You could have compounds analogous to amino acids and proteins. So complex life chemistry could be theoretically possible.
There's hardly any free nitrogen on Neptune, Paul said. Hydrogen, helium, a little methane for color.
Not Neptune itself.
Red drummed the fingers of his small hands together.
Its largest moon, Triton.
Paul nodded slowly. Yeah, geysers of liquid nitrogen when it's warm enough.
We don't know much about it, do we? Oz said. Haven't been there since forever, Paul said. A flyby in the 1980s?
In 1989, Red said. The Chinese-Japanese Outer Planets Initiative was launched in 2027, but went silent when it arrived in 2044. But there's been a lot of study from various Hubbles. There are probably 100 specialists about to start bouncing off the walls.
What about the number down in the corner? I said.
10^7, Paul said. 10 million. And that looks like a D after it. 10 million days?
Red and Snowbird translated it simultaneously.
27,378 years.
Snowbird added,
14,970 Aries in Martian souls.
I wonder if that's how long you've been on Mars, I said. Red shrugged.
It's how long human beings have been all human, Oz said, in a manner of speaking. Interesting coincidence. The last Neanderthals died about 27,000 years ago. I guess Homo sapiens has been the dominant species ever since.
Having killed off the Neanderthals, Moonboy said.
Red gave his slightly maddening, monotone laugh.
Ha, ha. Nobody knows what became of them.
Homo sapiens invited them over for lunch, Moonboy said, and they turned out to be the main course.
Dargo shot him a look. Oz tapped the 8-legged figure.
These could be your others, who created you in their image, more or less.
Living that close?
Red shook his head.
And on so small a world, Triton isn't even as big as your moon.
They might be like you, I said. You don't take up a lot of real estate. There was a double ping signal and a familiar face appeared, superimposed over the Drake diagram. Ishan Zanjiani, science coordinator on the Earth side.
This is interesting. Some of the Martians were watching the broadcast, but only the yellow ones were affected, and the 9 yellow ones who were doing something else were not affected.
I don't think we have any organs that discriminate between regular light and coherent light, Red said. So how could that work?
Ishan chewed his lip and nodded.
Well, just pursuing logic, you would never encounter such a strong burst of coherent light in the normal course of things. So you, or rather the yellow ones, could have such an organ and never know it.
But it wouldn't have any useful function, Oz said.
Ha, ha, But it would. It would make you fall down and speak in tongues whenever somebody on Neptune or Triton wanted you to.
That would turn out to be pretty accurate.